Hey everybody, it's the First Date Snobbery Podcast. My name's John.
And I'm Heather.
And this is Corrosion of Conformity with Migraine.
Love it!
Because somebody has a headache.
I do. I have a headache, but I'm sure it'll like fade as we go into our podcast here today.
On our podcast, what we do is we take a random year and we go ahead and we go through the...
Top 10
of the Billboard...
Charts of that year.
Basically the equivalent of the... I think it's like the Hot 100 or something like that.
Yeah.
It's basically the top pop songs of whatever year that we are randomly given.
Sure
is. According to no force other than the Lord himself via random number generator.
Pretty much.
And we do a little bit of modern, a little bit of old, kind of... New old.
It's pretty much random. So, you know, we kind of just go with the flow of the whatever random gives us.
But the way that we usually start our podcast is with a little bit of news. And that's current news, not old news.
Or a lot of news.
Well, old, it's semi-current. Oh, are we going to go ahead and insult already?
Throwing
barbs already?
I'm not throwing anything. I'm just stating we got some meaty news for you. There we go.
Our first story that I'm starting off with is not necessarily a music-related story. It is more a broadcasting / radio story.
It's still kind of related.
Over last weekend, which was, of course, was July 4th, which celebrates Independence Day and everything good about our country, Anthony Cumia, co-host of the Opie and Anthony show, was fired following an irate series of posts on Twitter after being allegedly assaulted, and he apparently has pictures of his attacker that he posted up, and he eventually took off Twitter, but Gawker still has it. He was taking photographs in New York, and this lady walked into the frame, and she got pissed off that he was taking pictures because I guess she thought he was taking pictures of her. And they both apparently exchanged some words. She called him a racial epithet. He was apparently punched several times. And when he got home, he tweeted a bunch of very angry tweets. And SiriusXM felt that what he had to say was abhorrent and wholly inconsistent with what SiriusXM represents. That's a direct quote. Mr. Cumia is going to be starting his own video podcast in August called Live from the Compound. He's already done a few episodes of it, not since this incident, though. It's an old podcast which he was putting up sporadically. So I was curious as to what you thought about the story. I don't know how much about it you've heard. I know that I've been an active participant in the backlash against SiriusXM because I happen to thoroughly enjoy the Opie and Anthony show. And I think it's bullshit on the company's part to fire the guy when they should have stood behind their talent, who they specifically hired to be outrageous and what's the word I'm looking for? It starts with a C.
I don't know.
Controversial. I'm retarded.
Okay.
But that's specifically why he was hired. And he's said, I know from listening to the show, he said worse on the air than what he tweeted. So I was curious as to what you thought.
Okay, well, John and I have basically been discussing this since Monday because he feels very strongly about what happened to Anthony. I'm kind of basing it off of facts. Fact one, Anthony has quite the reputation. He doesn't have a reputation for, like, not speaking his piece or not saying whatever he thinks or feels. So I'm kind of not sure why I'm not quite sure why Sirius XM reacted the way they did, because to me, in my opinion, he didn't say anything on the air. He didn't say anything on Sirius XM. He went on Twitter and put something there because he was upset, because he was outraged about the whole situation. So I don't think it's really related. I don't think like that his personal life should be related to his job. So I don't really think they have, in my opinion, a leg to stand on for their the way that they reacted in the whole situation here.
I think a part of what I think is going on is that their contract expired in October, and they have not been shy from complaining about the issues that they've had with their studio not being fixed up for them, and with how the money, all the money apparently goes to Howard Stern and nothing goes to them. And they were with XM before Howard was with Sirius, and before, and before the merger. And it's not fair to an extent, but life's not fair. But at the same time, these guys have been company guys and have been with XM the whole time. And they also had a brief comeback on the terrestrial radio, but they also were doing terrestrial and satellite. So they would go and do a three-hour terrestrial show and then go and do like 3 hours of satellite, of the satellite show on top of it. So they were essentially putting in like a pedestrian's full day of work on just the radio show, and that's a lot of shit to talk about.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I've listened to, obviously I've listened to Opening Anthony's show through via John.
And yeah, but your favorite is Jimmy Norton. You love little Jimmy.
Which is funny because he's by far the most offensive one. But I mean, they just say whatever. And I mean, they're, in my opinion, because this is my female perspective, I mean, they say whatever, and they say stuff, technically, I mean, it's kind of like a conversation John and I had earlier. If it has any kind of real humor to it, it's bound to offend somebody.
But that's, I mean, the whole point of humor.
I'm pretty, I don't know, I feel like I'm pretty open-minded to everything. They say stuff about women, but I mean, most of it's true, and I find it funny, so it doesn't really bother me, but I just, I don't know, I just feel like people, like, overanalyze stuff to, like, pieces. Like, anything that anybody can say is going to offend somebody.
From everything that I've read, the true outrage is that it was done on a racial level. But if you look back at the tweets, the only thing racial, the only thing that could be even loosely construed as racial is he called the woman a savage and an animal. Savage and animal are not inherently racist.
No.
He did call her, he did drop a C-bomb at her. So for the
He says that on the radio.
For the most part, what I got out of it was that he it was more of a an anti-woman thing than an anti-black thing. Well, and like I said, he said worse on the air.
He said much worse on the air, but he the reason he said savage is because apparently he was attacked.
So she was being a savage.
So
she was behaving in a savage manner.
That's how he decided to depict the situation. Because I mean, if I was out on the street in New York and someone, I was taking a picture with my brother because my brother lives in New York, and she walked in and it was an accident and like we had words and she punched me, I would probably say something along the same lines because I'd be like, who is this crazy ass woman punching me for no reason whatsoever?
I hate to say it, but if she were black and she did it, you'd probably drop an N-bomb.
I don't know what I would say. And I'm not in that situation.
The N-word did not once come across his Twitter stream. Not once.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not really.
She behaved in an animalistic and savage manner, and he pointed it out on Twitter and was fired for it. It's bullshit. He was hired to be to do that on the air. If it's okay on the air, it's not okay in your personal life?
Isn't that what I just said at the beginning of my comment? That's basically what I just said.
Okay.
So what you're saying is you are in agreement along with what I said.
I am in agreement. I think we're both of the same mindset in this instance.
Yeah. Basically, we are most of the time. Sometimes we stray, but yes.
Justin Bieber is the Eggman. He apparently pleaded no contest and has to pay his neighbor $80,900 for egging the neighbor's home.
Can you tell me when... I'm sorry. I don't mean to throw you off. Can you tell me when this happened? Because I remember hearing about it before. Like... Was it recent?
It's been a month.
It's been a little while ago, right?
And
this isn't his first incident doing something like similar to like this immature nature where he's doing something stupid to somebody else, right?
No, he is actually on trial for a couple of other things.
That basically,
highlighted in the article.
Basically,
as well.
Along the same lines of doing something to like prank somebody else, right?
Not a prank necessarily. There were other things. It's mostly, I think he got pulled over for like a DUI and okay. got popped with like a small, minute amount of pot traceable amounts of Xanax. I think it's on page 2 of the article if you're looking at it.
I can try to find it.
The police obtained a search warrant to obtain photos from Justin's Instagram account.
Uh-huh.
And while there were no direct photos of the incident. Oh my God.
It's okay.
I'm retarded.
You are not retarded. Stop saying that.
There was footage of someone who looked an awful lot like Bieber high-fiving his friends after running to the neighbor's house. He's got to serve 2 years of probation, and he's got to take a 12-week anger management course, as well as performing 5 days of community service. He's a douchebag. Deport him back to Canada.
I think his popularity's really starting to fade away.
He's gotten to the point where there's a backlash, and once the backlash really takes full force, he's going to be less of a commodity than Limp Bizkit.
Now I have a question for you. Didn't he start when he's 20? Didn't he start when he was about 16?
He started before that.
Yeah, I think he might have started when he was
14.
His
mom was putting shit up on YouTube when he was 14.
I think it's so technically he's been in and out of the spotlight for about 6 years.
I think he's had his rise, and now it's
that's what I'm referring downfall. To. I'm thinking finally we're going to be almost rid of him, and he's just going to hopefully go back to Canada, like you said, and just we can move on. I think he's going to kind of... I don't know. I think he's just going to be... Nobody's going to care about him.
We're never going to be rid of him.
In another 6 months.
He's going to be Leif Garrett.
He's going to be...
We're never going to be rid of him.
He's going to be the Leif Garrett of our time. Mm-hmm. Possibly.
Taylor Swift released an op-ed on the Wall Street Journal, and she still feels that the music industry is preparing for a comeback or a reboom.
Okay.
She has a view that music labels will be signing more acts with social media followings, and that the crossing of genres, which is really prevalent at the moment, kind of like how one genre sounds like another, that's going to help the music industry. And she says that she's not ignorant that sales across the board are down.
Yeah.
She is the number one artist on Billboard's Moneymakers list, and she cites... that in order to kind of combat the internet centric era that we're going through, where people can basically see your concert ahead of time with YouTube, because everybody and their mother just tapes a whole concert now when they're at a concert and instead of enjoying it,
yeah,
and they can just post that shit on YouTube and everybody watch a show before they go to it.
Uh-huh.
What she's been doing is combating that by having guests on her tour and having their guests sing their hits while she, I guess, helps along.
Okay.
So I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, and you know what? It says... So basically, she's just coming off the Red Tour. And what I'd like to say is Kelly Clarkson actually has done something similar with bringing out guests and not really telling anybody who... because I saw her a couple years ago. Not really telling anybody who was going to be there.
It's kind of the WWE philosophy of anything can happen.
That's true. I think you're exactly right. John and I really don't talk a lot about Taylor Swift. He likes Taylor Swift quite a bit.
I have a lot of respect for her.
And I actually... It's more of a more recently that I would say in the last 2 years that I've actually really started to like Taylor Swift. But
my only...
The thing that I've seen of her, I watched a concert special about her. I don't know when it was. It was probably like 3 years ago. And I watched it, and she was doing songs, and then she had a lot of commentary. And I'm like, this is what happened first. I looked at her, I was like, this girl is she's young, she's naive, she's doing all this do-goody stuff. There's no way that she's going to be able to keep this up. The industry is going to get to her, and she's going to be corrupt like everybody else. But honestly, it never happened.
And then she released Red, and Red was just as monstrous as the album before it.
I think that, this was right before Red. I think that I don't really think she's changed that much.
Nope.
I think just deep down, honestly, she's just a decent person. I mean, she's the real deal. She's the whole package. She's pretty. She's got a great voice. She writes her own music. She's very fan based. Legitimately cares about her fans.
The only thing that's going to be her downfall is that everything revolves around a relationship. All of her music is inspired by her relationships.
That's true.
That's a big downfall because she's going to eventually reach a point where she's happy and she's going to be, I got nothing to write about.
It's going to be, this is a really strange twist that only I would bring up. I think you're exactly on point with that. And I think what's going to happen, I don't want this to happen to her, but I think it's going to be like a Godsmack thing where like Godsmack, they had a really great album because he had so much like angst and anger. I was like, that album is the bomb. But then after that, like, you know, things got better. So like there wasn't a lot of like material there for him. So I think that might possibly happen to her.
We could have an hour-long discussion on Godsmack because I think you're somewhat right but yet somewhat wrong because their third album was killer. Their second album was a letdown. It went through a sophomore slump, but the third album, which had the song from the Scorpion King on it, I Stand Alone, fucking monstrous song. Great song.
It is a good song.
The whole album is good.
I have that song, but I don't have the album.
I have the album.
Because after the second album and hearing I Stand Alone, actually I heard it. There's another song off that album too. The third album, I didn't buy it. I didn't listen to it. So I can't really accurately make any commentary on that. But since that album, what have they done that's been good?
They're coming back.
Maybe.
No, they're coming back.
Only time will
tell. They're releasing new music is what I mean by coming back. Anyway, back to Taylor Swift. Let's not get on a side John about Godsmack. Back to Taylor Swift. She says that music is a lot like relationships.
It could be interesting.
Taylor Swift says music is a lot like relationships in that when you like some artists, it's like a quick fling, and some other artists are like finding the one. I thought that was an interesting statement because for me, Kesha is like a fling, and Black Sabbath is like the one.
Okay.
I was curious as to whether or not that would be your philosophy.
You want to know who my fling is?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I think I could probably figure that out if I wanted to.
Okay, who's my fling?
If I wanted to. I don't want to right at this point.
Boo!
I thought that was an interesting statement. As soon as I read that statement, it stuck with me because I identified with that.
Well, she's a pretty bright girl.
I thought it was an astute observation. And I hadn't.
That's what I just said.
I hadn't necessarily put it together like that. But I was like, you know what? Holy shit, that's absolutely right.
I think there's some truth to that. I think I have a lot of flings.
Everybody has a lot of flings. That's why they're flings.
But you know who my... Can you repeat that again?
Some artists are like a fling.
Mm-hmm.
Other artists are like finding the one.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you people out there know, but you should know by now if you consistently listen to us at all. The one is the Beatles for me. Fling?
I would say the one was Sarah McLachlan.
Can we not talk about Sarah McLachlan?
Rather than...
Can we please not talk about Sarah McLachlan coming to Philly?
The Beatles are... The Beatles should not be even on that scale. I mean, the Beatles are essentially godly.
Okay.
They're more a religion than they are a relationship.
Okay.
What's the song? The song where it's She's So Heavy.
I want you so yes. bad.
That song is essentially the first metal song.
I agree.
Because it gets heavy. For the Beatles, I was like, because that
She's
just popped
so
up
heavy.
When I was driving my kids back from the beach. I was like, holy shit, this song is like, for real, the first metal song.
Like, I don't
this
disagree.
Is the first song that like the bass and the drums and everything is just like fucking A.
I don't disagree.
And that's the first time. See, Ozzy has said that the Beatles were kind of the first for everything. The first metal band, the first.
So you're
this,
saying
that,
they're too
the
godly
other.
To be the one?
I think that they're too godly to be the one. Because like I said, that's not a relationship. That's a
I don't know
devotion.
Who
Beatles are a devotion. If you ever sink your teeth in the Beatles, you really realize that like they were the beginning of everything going on.
Well, some people consider Black Sabbath to be the one for them.
Yes.
Because they're... Well, I guess
the
you.
First metal band. Yeah. But before Sabbath, but some there was
consider,
something.
Some people consider Black Sabbath to be the one. To be, like, too godly.
No. Those are people that are metal freaks that are not... They're beyond even snobs. They're idiots who don't give any other metal.
But that's still their opinion. We can't shit on their opinion.
I can shit on their opinion all I want. Because for me, Black Sabbath is the one. But I recognize that there were heavy bands before Black Sabbath. Like Cream.
Yes,
Cream was a... Or Blue Cheer was a heavy band before Black Sabbath. There were bands around before Black Sabbath who were heavy.
I'm not saying there weren't.
But Black Sabbath is not... If you're so limited in your scope that you don't give anything pre-Black Sabbath a listen, then your opinion shouldn't matter. Because you discount everything
maybe
beforehand.
Maybe they're basing their opinions on the overall, like, greatness and what Black Sabbath brought to the table.
I understand
which
that.
Which is why they would consider them to be godly, as you say.
I understand that.
I'm giving the perspective of other people here.
I just believe that if you're that limited... Then you don't understand music. Then you don't understand music as an outlet.
Okay. You're
because
snobby.
There was stuff before Black Sabbath. There was stuff before the Beatles, but nothing
shitty
that is
stuff.
Nothing nothing that's around now.
Am I right?
Nothing that's if there were no Beatles, music
oh
would not
Oh my gosh.
If there were no Beatles, music would not sound as it does.
Moving right along.
Good, bad, or indifferent.
Let's talk about something interesting like who my fling is right now. I got a couple flings going on right now. I don't know if I want to admit about some of these
Pitbull
flings on the air.
Oh, shit. I had a good article about Pitbull that I lost.
Oh, well.
He's being
like,
sued
we
for
can't
something.
Find another article about Pitbull later.
He's being sued for
we
something.
We already discussed Pitbull anyway.
Did we?
I think... Okay, flings... I guess Pitbull's a fling, because I feel like every time, like, I was at a pool party yesterday, and, like, Pitbull came on, like, five times. So I was like, there he is again.
Spice Girls was
I guess
a fling.
He's a fling. Oh, my gosh. Must we bring up... Okay, you are not permitted to bring up flings from the past.
I tell you what you want.
Not permitted.
What you really, really want.
Not permitted to bring up flings from the past.
I wanna.
No.
Wanna.
Stop it.
I really...
You need to stop.
Really?
Stop, stop, stop.
Really?
Stop.
One of zig a zig.
I think a fling that I'm going through right now, I guess Pitbull would be considered one. This is really painful to admit. Very painful. I think Miley Cyrus is kind of a fling that I'm going through right now.
I don't know. You got it.
I like Miley Cyrus a decent amount, actually. Some of her stuff that when I saw that thing with the concert that we watched that one Sunday, I was like, no thanks.
Did she close with Strawberry Fields Forever?
I can't remember.
Was that her closing track?
I can't remember.
Because that instantly, she got bonus points from me.
Of course.
For that.
Yeah, of course she did. I'm not done with my flings. I think.
Longest I've got news ever.
Okay, well, that's what you get. For having me be
hey, it's our podcast. It can run over. I don't care. I don't care if it's 3 hours.
Lil Jon, because here lately it's like Zumba world, especially. I just recently downloaded two songs. Here we go. Let me tell you. Let me tell you the song that I just Shazammed because you know I can. That I just Shazammed that had Lil Jon on it. I just heard it yesterday. Here we go. Where is it? But I think, yeah, surprisingly enough, right now it's
you didn't like that Lil Jon song that we played the other week.
Just because I don't like one song doesn't mean that I don't like other songs.
Snap your fingers. Snap your
Okay, this is
neck.
A song that is one of my jams. It's, here, now I got to tap
here.
On it. Turn Down for What?
What?
DJ Snake and Lil Jon. That's what? My jam for this week. Amongst another song that you're going to hear at the end of the podcast. Okay, moving right along. Next week, I'll tell you a new fling.
Sum 41 frontman Derek Whibley was hospitalized.
I'm really glad my name's not Whibley.
Earlier this year for a whole month after his liver and kidneys.
Wibble, wibble,
Whibley.
Wickety, 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 wickety,
I see you back
Whibley.
To yourself. After his liver and kidneys stopped working on him.
Whatever you like,
cites
me.
Iggy Pop, Tommy Lee... of Motley Crue and Duff McKagan and Matt Sorum of Guns N' Roses.
Hey, guess what? You know who likes Iggy Pop? Me.
Kesha. As huge helpers in his sobriety.
Oh, God.
He said to Kerrang! Magazine that his drinking friends are bummed out by him and that they don't contact him anymore.
Because they suck. And they're not real friends then.
And evidently his newfound clarity has jump-started his creativity because he's been messing around with some songs to follow
they
up.
They said Mas Tequila and he said Hells to the No. I'm sober.
He's evidently tinkering around with some songs to follow
up. Did you say tinkering?
2011.
People can't tinker with songs.
Screaming bloody
People
murder.
People tinker around with things.
I beg to differ. How do you think
People
they record songs?
People cannot tinker with songs.
You can absolutely tinker with songs. Have you ever heard raw demos of songs?
That's not tinkering.
And compare them to what you actually end up with as a product?
When you were tinkering, you're making something, like an actual product that's not musical,
so
something
creating,
physical.
Creating a song is not making something.
It's not a physical thing. When you're tinkering, you're like tinkering and making a chair.
It's editorial license, thank you.
Whatever. You can't tinker with a song. That's just my opinion.
You can tinker with a song because sometimes
I disagree.
Then you haven't heard what's ended up on Cannibal Corpse's Vial compared to
oh my gosh
the songs they recorded
Man,
with the original
boy,
singer.
Am I sorry. I didn't hear that. So sorry.
Speaking of op-eds, Kesha also wrote one for LUK about her 2-month stint of rehab earlier this year. While her image is of that of a party girl who likes to drink and scrump, she also reveals that she's very serious about her career in that article. She says the pressure the music industry put on her in regards to her image led her to abuse her body. And she also says that society doesn't understand therapy isn't a one-time fix and that sometimes you need reminding that, quote-unquote, we are who we are.
Ha ha ha.
Herp a derp.
Well, honestly, here I go. John actually might approve of what I'm saying. If you listen to her music, and I'm not just saying like TikTok and the ones that like are extremely popular. If you listen to her other songs, you actually can pick up that she is a very serious artist. And she has some songs that actually has some depth to them that I've actually took a really long time for me to. Really long time.
I understand that.
For me to get into
after
that.
Because I
saw like a little flash of her, and I really, in the beginning, didn't differentiate her from anybody else.
Because I put you in an arm bar and I forced you in that direction.
But John just harped on her so much, I was like, all right, you know what? And I got one of her albums, and my kids were listening to it, and they liked it, because, I mean, her stuff is catchy.
It's catchy as hell.
But then I actually, for some unknown reason, downloaded the entire Warrior album and listened to it all the way through, and I was like, wow, this girl actually has some substance in here too. So if you've only listened to like her hits, then I could see why you would think that she really is just the party girl that's just out to make a quick buck or whatever. But if you really know her more deeply, then you'll know that you'll see that deep down that's not really who she wants to be, I guess. But she's written music for other artists. And the crazy thing now is, like, when I hear songs that she's written, I know it's her. Because, like, I'm kind of used to her style, lyrically and musically. I actually have done that on the podcast before. But anyway, so that's my 2 cents on that article.
Okay.
Next one.
My next one is about...
A boot?
It's about...
It's a boot!
It's about what I came across with. See, I'm a metalhead.
Really?
I am a metalhead.
Are you sure?
I don't think
I've known that for 20 some years.
Thoroughly enjoy the metal.
Thoroughly enjoy.
And I came across a list that I found interesting because it was the top 10.
Would you like to hear my opinion about this list?
According to Loudwire magazine. See, I was trying to, while you were talking, I thought you were going to go on longer so that I could pull up songs from
each
artist. Well,
guess what? You should have gave me a hand signal or something, brother.
We'll figure that shit out. They came up with a top 10 list of metal bands from the United States.
American bands, because they're American bands. That's not a metal song.
And since I like metal, I thought this would cause quite a bit of a debate between
well,
the two of us.
Well, you know that I like some metal, too. I'm just not a metalhead.
You like a lot more metal than you think, and I think you're a closeted metalhead. Band number 10 out of Richmond, Virginia is Lamb of God. Your opinion, please.
Thumbs up.
Why?
I hate when he asks me why. Okay, here we go. May as well start on this kick. Okay. You've
seen them live.
Well, it took some of the metal. It took me a bit of time to warm up to. Because, I mean...
And then we broke up, and then you were like, I want to listen to metal.
Shut up. It's only somewhat accurate.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about now, currently, within the last 2 or 3 years.
Yes.
And Lamb of God, I was like, I don't know, I think I'm out on this. Because, like, the vocals is what gets me, because they're metal vocals.
Yeah, but Randy Blythe's vocals are so awesome.
But then, basically, John was like, we're going to this concert. And we're going to this concert. And the concert was...
Killswitch Engage.
Killswitch and Lamb of God. So, yes. Kind of like, I was going...
Who else?
I was going just because I wanted to see the
concert.
Who
opened for them? I can't remember.
Huntress opened for them.
Huntress!
Aren't you glad I'm here? So, well, I was kind of going because, you know, Killswitch is one of my... They're one of my bands, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Both lead singers. And then Lamb of God, more so Lamb of God to... for John. So I went and I was like, you know what? To be fair to this concert and to be fair to John, I need to familiarize myself with Lamb of God somewhat more.
While you're on your point.
Can I finish?
I just want to say, anybody that doesn't like metal, watch a metal show. Go to a live metal show and your opinion, it may not change completely, but your opinion of metal will be a little bit different.
So I was listening to the Lamb of God because, you know, John made me essential disc of Lamb of God.
That's
so
what I
would
do.
Be prepared.
That's how I do.
That's how he do. And I was listening to him. I was like, And I was listening to more like, okay. And then I was listening to some more. I was like, Then it was like, okay, well, I'm just not going to take it out of my six disc changer. I'm just going to keep it in there.
In rotation.
Then... I was like, oh, you know what? I like track number 5. Let me listen to track number 5. Okay, well, you know, track number 6 is playing. And I'm almost to work. Let's just listen to track number 6, too. Track number 11. I really like that song. And then when I got there, it was kind of funny because I knew, like, almost every song. I didn't know all the words, but I was like, yay! I was, like, clapping for myself because I was like, I know all these songs. And you know what was really cool? This is not completely related to what we're talking about. The Killswitch, I knew all the songs. I even think John and his friend went with us, and John's friend was like, I think he was kind of like, whoa, she knows all these songs. I think even John was like, wow, she knows all these songs. So just to toot my own horn on that one, I had a more open mind to them, and now that I have a more open mind, I've listened to virtually all of their catalog, I would say that they deserve at least number 10.
I agree.
Number 9, I haven't heard any of their music.
My opinion on Lamb of God is that they are the standard bearers of metal in this current day and age. It's a shame that I think Randy has kind of taken a break because, as you know, because you and I've had the discussion, they had gotten some
problems. He's had
problems.
An up and down year.
They got in some trouble over in Europe because there was a fan that jumped on stage, jumped off. Nobody caught him. He landed on his head and died.
Do you remember that? Do you remember that article that we did that talked about him? I actually read it thoroughly all the way through. About what he's done the last, I believe it was last year. I mean,
he's done a lot of soul searching.
He's done a lot. He's accomplished quite a bit.
If Lamb of God puts out another album, it's going to be great because Randy's done so much personal work, and the lyrics are going to be from a place. The lyrics are going to be from a personal place, which is good. And if the music fits, his words. It's going to be an all-time classic album. It'll probably be the best thing Lamb of God puts out. Just my opinion. Number 9 is Death. Now, here's some history on Death because you don't know anything about Death.
I do not.
Death is essentially the very first ever death metal band. They're the first to really do that style. They formed first. They recorded their album first. But they were not the first death metal album released. That belongs to Possessed's Seven Churches. Death recorded an album called Scream Bloody Gore, and it went out, it was released in like 1986, but it was recorded in like 1982, and I believe Possessed's Seven Churches came out in 1983. So Death is essentially the very first death metal band, and that's why they're number 9. Band number 8 is Slipknot, who you and I have had the distinction of seeing live at an Ozfest.
Woohoo!
I was not impressed by Slipknot, and as a matter of fact, I'm still not very impressed by Slipknot.
Now, one thing I will give credit to Slipknot for, kind of, is I feel like they kind of made, in some way, they kind of made metal cooler or more accessible to the public, because I just remember them being so popular, and popular with people that never ever listened to metal.
Yeah, I mean, to a degree. They're almost, their following at first was almost Juggalo-esque.
Okay.
In that they have very devoted followers who were seen by a lot of other metalheads as kind of like inbred or just not right.
And do you think some of it was due to like how they dressed up and whatnot too?
A lot of it has to do with that the fact that Slipknot is essentially a gimmick band because they wear the mask and they wear the prison,
yeah,
like the prison jumpsuit.
A lot more gimmicky than talent.
Band number seven is Anthrax. Now, there are two different versions of Anthrax. One version I don't like, which is
if you showed me the pictures, then I would tell you which lead singer I like.
There's one with long black hair, long curly black hair, and there's another with a bald guy.
Okay.
Who is John Bush from Armored Saint.
Okay.
I like the one with John Bush, and that may not be popular, but I think that that was the most commercially viable Anthrax that there was, and they put out the best Anthrax album, which was We've Come For You All, which had Dimebag Darrell on it.
I like Anthrax. I think they're pretty decent, but since it's the top 10, I'm not so sure if they belong in the top 10. I'm thinking they might be 11 or 12.
Well, there's
just saying,
unofficially a movement called like the first wave of American heavy metal,
mm-hmm,
or first wave of thrash metal, and Anthrax are kind of the lowest of the all four of the bands that are like the head of that movement are on this list. Anthrax is kind of number 4 on the American wave of the first American heavy metal bands, or like the first wave of American heavy metal bands. I mean, like the real American thrash metal movement. Anthrax is like the number 4 band in that. But then you're discounting bands like Exodus. Because Exodus was a big part of that.
Because when I look, because this says top 10 American metal bands, so yes. I'm like thinking of more of a general metal. Like if you said thrash, then definitely I would agree with them being like fourth or fifth.
Number 6 is Tool.
Very excited about this.
Here's the thing.
Here we go.
Is Tool truly metal? I consider them more of a progressive metal band. I don't consider them a true metal band. Because
if you go on iTunes or anywhere else, they're basically in 3 or 4 different musical categories.
What they do is so eccentric and so eclectic that they can't, I don't think they can be shoehorned into metal necessarily. Because they have a lot of progressive tendencies. So I think it's more of a prog metal than it is true metal.
I'm not saying it's true metal.
Because Tool, I've always said Tool kind of ruined my first Ozfest experience, because I loved Tool's performance at that first Ozfest, and I almost was like, fuck Ozzy, I've seen Tool.
Must have been nice.
It was very good.
Let's not talk about it anymore.
It was very good. Number five.
No, we're not skipping my commentary on Tool. Are you serious?
Please to continue.
For Cereal, there are daggers coming out of my eyes right now.
I'm putting my notes down.
Yeah, I think you should.
Aye, Cap'n.
I think you should.
Maynard is probably the greatest voice in music today. Just saying.
Are you done?
Just saying.
I agree. I think Tool is one of the first even remotely metal bands that I actually snared me in and hooked me in. And I would think John would 100% agree, because they are just so uniquely awesome that you just can't help but not get sucked in by their sound.
Absolutely.
I think if you think about...
Tool were my number 2 for a long ass time.
Yeah, I know.
The only reason why they're not number 2 is because they really don't put out music on a consistent basis
and based on 10,000 days and all of that. But anyway, they're just great. I just can't even explain to you just in words how awesome they are. And
they produced probably your number 1.
I think
number 1 or number 2 or number 3
in the top 5.
Yeah.
But I
Chevelle.
I'm not looking at him.
Who sound exactly like Tool?
We're not going there.
Somewhat.
We're not going there.
A little bit like Tool.
Today, we're not going there.
A skosh. Just a tad.
We are not going there today.
I heard in an interview.
Can I give my commentary here?
I'm just saying.
Why don't you let me... How about I say my commentary?
Please continue, because I have to urinate anyway.
And then you can give your commentary, because that's how podcasting should go. And goes in most other podcasts. Anyway, as I was saying, Tool, they're just a great band. I wish I would have seen them in concert. He can't comment about this, so I'm just going to do it anyway. Now, thinking about them being a metal band, if you have listened, which I'm not sure if you people out there have, to some of their early Tool, which I didn't listen to until I actually went to Philadelphia, and they had something called a laser light show. And Tool was one of my favorite bands. And I forced someone to go with me that I didn't want to go, but I didn't really care because I wanted to go. And they played, it was very funny, because they played off of their early stuff, and it was off of Opiate and some of the other, and a lot of people got up and walked out because I guess it was a little too much for them, and I stayed. And I would consider some of that to be very, like, not even so much progressive, but like more thrashy, actual metal type stuff.
Yes.
But then as you get more into, like, I guess you would say maybe Undertow and Enema and things like that, they kind of become like the Tool that I know. And a little bit less metal. I don't even know how I would categorize them. I just, awesome. If I could just create a musical genre
of awesome,
awesome,
Tool would be there.
That would be at the very tippy top.
100%.
And I just, they're definitely in my top 10 favorite bands. They really are. I mean, great and awesome are like really crappy adjectives for me to use. I just can't come up with anything else.
Epic,
I would definitely say. I think they're an epic band.
How System of a Down is on this countdown before Tool?
System of a Down are not metal.
There's a few. I like some songs by System of a Down, but they don't deserve to be placed over Tool in any way, shape, or form.
I remember a long time ago you liked System of a Down.
Spiders is a good song,
and I didn't like them.
Their whole first album is good, and the second album was created just so that they could get
went to sell out more.
Exactly.
You liked them, and I remember asking you to turn them off. And then a little bit later, I ended up really liking them for a short period of time. I've actually seen them, and then, what's his name? Toxicity, that's the album that you're referring to, right? Solo. And it says that highly original spin on heavy metal, I don't consider them to be heavy metal.
You're actually reading the article. I didn't even read the article. I just listed the bands.
There's a song off that album that you're referring to. It's very, very fast. Here, can you talk so I can look it up?
Oh my God, you want me to talk about System of a Down?
Yes, so
they're
I can
so
try
terrible.
To, so I can look it up.
I like
and I can
Spiders.
Tell you.
Spiders is not a fast song on that, but the whole album is fast. It's almost like an entire methamphetamine fueled album. Is the album called Toxicity? Maybe it is.
Yes, it is.
I liked Aerials is my favorite song on that album, and My Mother. Poor woman tried to buy me a Christmas present one year.
She tries.
She bought me like their fourth album, and I've never listened to it. I think it's called Mesmerize. I've never once listened to it.
Oh, so it says okay.
Their first album is called, I think it's just got a hand on it. It's just a hand with a black background.
System of the Down, it says it came out in 1998.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, that would be about exactly
We saw
right.
them in concert, and they yeah, were we really did. Good at Ozfest, and then they put out that second album, and I said, you know what, I think I'm out on these guys. Their first single off the second album was Chop Suey, and it blew the fuck up.
Okay, so this is why we like them. Sugar! Spiders
burp, beep,
was on there.
Beep, beep.
Both excellent songs.
They were kind of they were not quite nu metal because they weren't really the rap metal. Mm-hmm. They had a weird delivery. It wasn't rap metal.
Well,
you
his
can't
voice
really
is
consider
his
it.
Voice is very unique. I think that's part of the reason why they got so much hoopla.
Can we get past System of a Down?
No, I'm looking on Toxicity now, so we can discuss what songs we like off of it.
Chop Suey is good. Aerials is good. The rest of it is garbage.
Okay, so we've got. Oh, that's a song I like. Okay. There's a song. Chop Suey is very good.
Second one, never, ring up. You wanted to. You wanted to.
Okay.
That's Chop Suey.
I'm going to try to download the song for you guys to hear, I guess, next time, if I can keep my stuff together.
That's fine.
It's called Deer Dance.
Deer Dance.
And he basically, it's actually sounds very metal-esque. That's the song that I like off of Toxicity, because I actually had Toxicity.
Now I have Kitty stuck in my head.
Well, that's not bad.
Because you did, and then just reminded me.
That's very typical Kitty, isn't it? That's probably why I did it. Okay, you want to go to number four?
Number four is Megadeth, who is, I agree.
Last weekend, we were just listening to a whole bunch of Megadeth, remember?
I think it was off of Rust in Peace.
And he was letting me pick the tracks.
I love Rust in Peace. Megadeth are good for Peace Sells, Rust in Peace, and Countdown.
Do you think they belong in the top 10?
I do believe they belong in the Countdown. I think they're a little bit overpriced at number four.
Okay.
But I do believe they...
Maybe a seven or
they
eight.
They belong in... Yeah. Six, even. Okay. I would give them a six.
Okay.
Then, here's where you and I are going to argue the hell out of this list. And this is already a long podcast. But number three is Pantera. Pantera, I would argue, are the Lamb of God of their time. They were the flag bearers for metal at that time. They started off as a hair metal band, and they combined so many different elements. You're not gonna see this. Dimebag Darrell's guitars sound so much like Eddie Van Halen, it's ridiculous. Vinnie Paul is a hell of a drummer.
What you don't have, you should have.
I got shit tons of Pantera.
No.
You want
no.
me to play some Pantera?
No, I do not. No, put it down. What you could have done was had like a little 30-second segment of both of them playing something, so we could compare.
I do. I could if no, you want to. No. If you want to.
No, that's right. I don't disagree that they belong on the top 10. I just don't like them, but that doesn't mean that they weren't influential.
And Phil is a hell of a was at one point. Phil was Phil was a great.
I just don't like Pantera.
Phil was a great singer at one point. I mean, he could hit high notes that were ridiculous at one point. He can't now because he's abused himself so much. But Pantera were at that point. They had taken the flag from Metallica and were waving the metal flag when it was not cool to be metal at one point.
Just because I don't like Pantera doesn't mean I'm not going to recognize their contributions to metal.
Okay. Well, at least I've gotten you that far, because I don't believe that at some points you would be that far.
Wow.
Number two is
even greater than you.
Number two
was.
Is Slayer.
I like Slayer.
I think Slayer is kind of overvalued, because I think Pantera belongs in the number two spot.
Okay.
Number one is Metallica. Your opinion.
I don't think they should be number one.
Who should be number one then, if they shouldn't? And are you slighted in any way that Killswitch Engage is not on this list?
Honestly, I don't know where they should be. I think they should be on the top 10, because now that I think about it,
Black Album.
Because they're American is what really
Black
gets
Album
me.
was a monstrous album.
Yeah, but it wasn't a huge contributor to metal.
Black Album was toured off of for like 7 years. I'm not
it's
shitting
It's a great
you.
Album. Hello, yes, I was alive for those 7 years.
Yeah.
I don't consider it really to be a metal. There's some ballads on there.
Kill 'Em All.
I'm not talking about Kill 'Em All.
Ride the Lightning.
I'm not talking about Ride the Lightning.
Master of Puppets. Mm-hmm. Injustice for All.
Master of Puppets is one of my favorite albums of all time.
Into the Black Album. Those are five mammoth metal albums.
They are mammoth, but I don't think Metallica should be number one.
I agree with Metallica being number one.
I think they should be in the top 10.
I agree with Metallica being number
but
one.
But I do not have a replacement suggestion for the number one.
Well, then who? That's the point. If Metallica's not the number one American metal band, who would be?
I don't know.
You're funny.
I am funny.
All right, now that we're almost an hour into this podcast
I
already.
I think we should move on from the articles.
We are doing...
Why don't you talk quickies. Why don't you talk about two quickies? Pick two.
I can't pick two.
John.
Ariana Grande, Usher, and 5 Seconds of Summer are performing at the VMAs.
Pick two quickies,
which
and
are
then we need
Sunday,
to get to the countdown.
August 24th at 9 o'clock. And they're going to be at the Forum in Inglewood, California.
Pick two.
For the 7th season of The Voice, Stevie Nicks will be an advisor to Adam Levine's team. the iconic lineup of Fleetwood Mac, including Christy McVie, will be heading out on a 33-city run on September 30th. Miley Cyrus posted several racy pictures of her new tattoo. It's under her left arm and depicts, or it's under her left armpit and depicts her deceased Alaskan Klee-Kai Floyd, with a message reading, "With a little help from my friends," which just goes to show she is more influenced by the Beatles than I think you and I care to mention. Weezer will be releasing a new album, Everything Will Be All Right in the End, on September 30th. It'll be produced by The Cars' Rick Ocasek, who also produced the Blue Album and the Green Album.
Well, you realize the Cars are a huge influence on Weezer. They're one of the main reasons why Weezer got popular at all. Yeah. I think that should be in all the articles. We're going way over.
We're already way over.
I think we should stop on the articles and get to the countdown.
The Juggalos are a gang. Pink Floyd has a new album.
We should.
AC/DC has a new album that they've recorded. Papa Roach has a new album. Sabbath will be touring continuously.
Why do you have to talk about every single article? Why can't you just let it go?
The keyboard. I've skipped one. The keyboardist from Journey is happy. Steve Perry is singing again. Joe Perry says that they should not be.
Our countdown is based on the week of July 8th, 1972.
Joe Perry
just
says
to let you know, so we can
Aerosmith shouldn't be recording new music, and Chester Bennington from Linkin Park is not happy with
number 10
people who go to concert festivals.
Is by Mr. Luther Ingram.
It is, right?
And it is called "If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right."
It's a statement you agree with.
If being right means being without,
how do you know?
Because you would apply that to me.
How do you know? You're not in my brain.
It's a downright disgrace.
All right. What's your thoughts on this wonderful song?
Okay. This song, I listened to it painstakingly twice. And if you listen to the lyrics, it's basically about a man. If you listen to the title, it's about a man he's singing about his mistress, who
it
apparently
certainly
he wants
is.
To be with. Hence the reason why it's wrong.
He likes to bone.
And he's really, really into this chick on the side.
She must be pretty hot.
His voice is decent, but overall, I don't know if it's because the premise of the song was just not cool or what. I really was not into it. And I would like to tell you that not every song on this countdown got a sad face. But this one did.
There's only one song that did not get a sad face.
That's true.
What she's saying.
That's not true.
I didn't know if I was supposed to sympathize with the guy or the guy who's the main subject of the song or
not. He was really trying to get people on his team, on Team Mistress.
It didn't work for me because I gave it a meh. I mean, the guy's got a... Luther Ingram has a soulful voice. And I do like the guitar work in the song because it's got a weird, like... But if I'm supposed to like this song, I'm not right. All right, so what's
next?
You're
not right anyway. Number 9 is I Need You by America.
Yes, why don't you pad for a second? Oh, Jesus Christ. I forgot how much I didn't like the song. So that's a spoiler. Minus! I know where I'm going with this.
Why don't you do your commentary first, since you kind of already did?
I thought the song was James Taylor. I said, holy fuck, I'm bored by this song. And I said, somehow the drums kick in and make the song worse. And I said that I'm totally out. And there's another song by this group that is much better than this one.
This is a song that I asked him to download that they are much more well known for.
Which is what?
I bet you recognize it. It's called A Horse with No Name.
How much better is this song than that song? Really? Is this the same vocalist?
Yes.
Are you shitting me?
It is the same vocalist. It's just he's got more like reverb in the other song and more background with the rest of the band. It's the same
vocalist. There's no fucking way it's the same vocalist.
Listen here. This is how you can tell it's the same vocalist. It is the same vocalist.
No way.
I researched this shit.
Well, then give me your opinion on the song that's not Horse with No Name.
The song that is I Need You.
Yes, I need you to stop playing this shitty song. I feel that this song,
even though it came out in 1972, had a very late 60s sound to it. I like that it has a little bit of hippiness to it. I gave it a meh. I didn't think it, I mean, it's not their best song, but I didn't think it was completely awful either. I gave it a meh.
So I gave it a minus, you gave it a meh.
That's how it went.
All right, well,
that's
what's
all
next?
She wrote. Oh, you podcast listeners are in for a treat. It's called Daddy Don't Walk.
Don't You Walk So
Don't
Fast.
Don't You Walk So Fast. I can't read my handwriting. It's by a Mr. Wayne Newton.
A Mr. Wayne Newton? Mr. Wayne Newton has a very strict following.
I don't follow him.
Yes, but people who love Wayne Newton love Wayne Newton. Like another guy on this list.
I know.
We're coming to America!
I was wondering if that was coming.
I knew it was. Alright, what's your opinion about one okay. Mr. Fig Newton?
Here we go. I got some commentary on this one.
Daddy, don't you walk so fast.
Okay, this is my commentary. Wow, I really don't like Wayne Newton. There is lots of overproduction here. Is this song about a dad abandoning his daughter?
It's about a
major boo.
Hold on.
Then, halfway through, is he changing his mind?
Yes. Yes.
WTH.
He changed his mind.
This daddy is not a good daddy. I don't like him very much. This song got a sad face. Boo.
I'm a little familiar with Wayne Newton because they used to make fun of him on the Mike O'Mara show. Cheap plug. Because Mike does a really good impersonation of Wayne Newton. And I did not understand what the fuck is up with his voice. He's got a really weird voice.
He did not say, Sweet Caroline.
Sweet Caroline.
Go ahead and finish.
I just didn't understand what was up with his voice. He sounded like a broke-ass Elvis, but with no bass in his voice. And I said, it's another song about a bastard, like the first song on this countdown. And I said, at the end, though, the bastard does the responsible thing, but you know that shit's
only
not going
to
work.
Only because the kid's clinging to his leg and saying, Daddy, don't hop on the train.
But you know that shit's not going to work. He just waited until his daughter was 18 and he hit the road, Jack.
He waited until she was asleep in bed when she was 10.
Peace out. Danny, don't you like me?
Let's move on to number 7.
If this will play right.
Number 7 is Rocket Man by Sir Elton John.
Oh, wow. I picked that one right on the hook. Goddamn right. Turn this shit up. That spoils my opinion on it.
Am I ever going to get to give my opinion?
Go ahead. Go for it. Talk over it.
I like the
song.
I like the song. This song is a classic. It's just excellent overall. I'm a fan of most of Elton John's music. And this is
You sure you want to say most of? You want to hold on to that? Strict.
Guess what? This is my commentary, Mr. Nasty, because the podcasters want to hear you belch into the microphone.
At least I can't raise my ass this high. Right?
I'm kind of thinking that this song was written based on the Apollo 11 moon landing in 1969, because there was a couple other songs related to it, like Space Oddity by David Bowie, which actually he came out with in 1969.
Did not put those two things together,
that's
but now that
I'm
you say
smart.
It, I can.
I just think it's a great song. I love the song. I gave it a hard, happy face. A happy face with, like, eyelashes, I guess.
Well, the two of us are in line because I gave this song...
Just the two of us?
Don't worry, I got the Big Willie Styles version of it, too. I gave this song a hard plus. I said it sounds 1,000 times more modern than the last three songs. It's mellow, but there's enough in the song to keep it interesting. And I said the lyrics are a little bit all over, though. They're kind of like, because it's like the guys that they send in, the guys that they send out in space are not like just your average Joes.
They're all over the place because it's basically written about what people saw on TV, the astronauts doing on TV. They didn't, you know, they didn't travel to space.
But I think the overall,
they just wrote it to be trendy.
But I mean, though, if you listen to the lyrics, it's like they just put some grunt in a spaceship and shipped them up to the moon. And that's not what they do. They take these guys who are brilliant people, brilliant not only militarily, but scientifically brilliant guys up to space.
No doubt.
And it kind of makes the guy, it kind of undercuts the guys that they actually spend in space, this song. But I did say that overall, I think it's interesting that the song is more or less about the duplicity of being a human being. I give it a hard plus. I like the song. I think it's beyond an iconic song.
I agree. Number 6 is not an iconic song. He'd begin to move. I'm trying to remember how to pronounce it.
Troglodyte.
Troglodyte. It's by Jimmy Castor Bunch. It's also called Caveman.
Caveman is a parenthetical. It's a parenthetical. It's in parentheses. What are you shushing me for? We could talk all over this shit.
Got him on a woman.
Okay, can I make my commentary? I'm dying here.
Suck it to me.
Can I please make my commentary? I'm dying.
Yes, please do. Troglodyte.
This song, in my opinion, I'm going to compare it to another song.
Suck it to me.
In an old podcast. To me, this song is exactly like Tighten Up by Archie Bell and the Drells. It's just talking. And I would like to say that this Jimmy Castor fellow said, I'm going to get me a woman, and her name is Bertha Butt. Seriously?
Bertha.
Seriously.
Butt. I did not realize that this is the song where that originated from.
And guess what? I think this might be the worst song I've ever heard. On a countdown. I'll sock it to you, Daddy. Right on. Yeah, because a cavewoman's going to say, I'll sock it to you, Daddy. Right on.
This is really? The same woman that loves really? Undercover Brother.
He's cool. Shut the hell up.
It's the same general kind of era. Of that.
Well, guess what?
I said you can definitely hear the funk and Sly Stone influence, and I said, really though, what the fuck was wrong with people?
Sock it to me, Daddy.
I said, what was wrong with people that
talk about a condescending song to women?
Like I said,
and you know what you people didn't hear is the whole talking about grabbing her hair and shit. Oh my gosh, seriously, the worst song ever on any countdown we've ever done. I feel slightly passionate about my hatred of the song.
I did not understand what was wrong with people that this made it this high.
I would like to tell you that I'm never, ever going to say Suck It To Me Daddy to you. Ever.
I just don't understand how this ever made it this high on the chart.
Ever.
And I said, Bertha Butt.
Why you got bite my style?
What the fuck? Bertha
Butt. Would you like to read my notes?
And then I said, suck it to me. Oh, boy. Are you ready for the next song?
I am now.
I hope so.
Number 5 is The Candyman by Sammy Davis Jr.
Candyman. Oh, the Candyman can.
Can you let him sing?
I have a glass eye, by the way. Makes the world taste good.
Can I give my commentary? My commentary is, shut up.
Just to talk over the song.
Shut up! Sammy Davis Jr. is one of the members of the Rat Pack.
He is.
I think that he has a fantastic voice. Mm. Once again, I don't like the background singers. Is it your turn to do commentary?
Continue.
But I think that Sammy does a great job here. I am slightly a little bit, you know, biased because they sing this song in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory movie.
The candy bell.
The man in the candy store sings this
song. Not in this way.
So naturally, I like this song.
I like the song. I don't like the delivery.
I gave it a meh. Now it's your turn to comment.
Did I say that I gave the last song a hard minus? A hard minus? Chocolate Night?
Caveman?
I find Caveman. Ooga booga. I find Sammy Davis Jr.'s voice to be a little bit odd because it's coming from a black man. And I also said, what came first, this or the Willy Wonka version?
This.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I know my Willy Wonka.
What year did Willy Wonka come out?
Why don't you grab the DVD and find out?
You know it.
This is...
Dun, dun, dun! I said, I don't know why. I don't know why you would record it other than for the soundtrack to Willy Wonka. I don't understand it. I just don't get it. I prefer the one in the movie.
That's fine.
I give it a meh.
I give it a meh, too. So why are you arguing?
You were acting like you loved it.
I gave it a meh, just like you. If we gave it the same ranking, right, then why are you...
I gave it a meh.
Number four. Too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. Wow, that was really not on tune. It's Cornelius Brothers and Sister Rose.
Sister Rose.
Sister girl.
What's your opinion?
I don't have a lot of commentary here. Again? I know this song. That's my first comment. I think there's good harmonizing in it. I
that
like
means
it.
It's iconic that you know it.
I gave it a happy face. I like the song. I don't really ever need to hear it again, but I think it's a decent song.
I said that I think that this song is actually an iconic song from the early 70s, and I said that comparatively, it's not too busy. There's a moderate pace to it, and the strings don't kill it off. And I do actually like the combination of the male and the female voices. That's my opinion. So why don't you go ahead and share with the audience what you have just discovered about the Candyman. Yeah. The Candyman can... Come on.
Okay. Well, I just double checked, and apparently,
I don't understand why
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory movie came out in 1971.
Oh,
one
shit.
1 year previous to this countdown.
Oh, shit.
There you go.
Well, that's one explanation.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, what's next?
Number three is called Song Sung Blue. It is by Mr. Neil Diamond. Weeping like a
willow. We're coming to America!
My commentary on this, I think, is going to surprise John.
Okay.
I like the simple nature of this song.
And you're reminded about how much your dad looks like Neil Diamond.
I like it because it has kind of an upbeat depiction of sad songs. It's not one of his iconic songs, but I still think it's kind of good.
I agree.
I actually gave it a happy face.
Wow, you gave it a happy face because it reminded you of your dad. Mm-hmm. I said I almost heard like a country influence to the song. And I said that his voice had not quite developed a lot of its classic qualities as of this point in time as you rub against your microphone. I said some of the lyrics sounded like he kind of crammed in some of the parts. I don't know if you heard
that. Because he's professional.
And I said, oh shit, there's some brass here. And then by the end, it gets really busy. I almost like that it starts off real simple with just him and a guitar and it kind of builds and builds and builds and builds.
Yeah, that's what I liked about it.
But it builds to nowhere. I give it a meh.
That's fine. You don't have to agree with me.
What's next?
Number two is Out of Space, I Wrote a Simple Song by Billy Preston. Made it all sound wrong, now it sounds like a... Okay, my opinion on this song.
Okay.
I'm assuming, this is my assumption, that this song is about an artist trying to make a splash in the music biz, and that he wrote a simple song for someone that he cared about, and when he was trying to make it, the record company went through their typical alterations.
I'm shaking my head yes.
I think it's funny because he says, I don't care if it makes the charts, but it did at number two. So there you go. I guess you did care. It does have a bit of soul to it, and I would kind of like to make an allusion. An allusion to a 1980s artist. I'm going to hear so much shit about that.
I have an allusion, too.
Because when I hear this song, it reminds me of Richard Marx's Don't Mean Nothing, because that song is also written about him trying to make it and them saying, I like you, but you're just not cut out for this. We got to change, or you're not going to get a recording deal and whatnot. So I kind of relate both songs to each other. This has a blank face. I didn't give it a ranking because I just didn't know how to rank it.
Give it a ranking now.
I
just listened to it for the first time today.
Nice way to prepare.
I give it a meh.
I would give it a meh too. I don't hate it, but I don't love it.
I said it's more funk / soul, and I said somebody took.
I said got a bit of soul.
And
brother.
I said somebody took this guy's song and fucked that shit up, and he's pissed.
But guess what? It made number two, didn't it?
He's gonna kick somebody's ass.
Just like Don't Mean Nothing.
I said it's kind of interesting, but what I'd identify with the song is like you listen to Lynyrd Skynyrd's version of Simple Man, and then you listen to Shinedown's version of Simple Man.
Well, that's and what you get for listening to Shinedown's version.
What he's doing is it was all over the radio when it first dropped.
You don't listen to the radio. That's your fault.
I gave it a meh. I'm ending my commentary there.
Are we going to number one?
We are going to number one at this point.
Number one is a song I'm pretty sure you're all familiar with.
Everybody knows this song.
Lean On Me,
they're stupid.
By Bill Withers. That's not very nice.
No. I've never heard Lean On Me. What are you shaking your head at me for?
Because you're being you, and that's why I'm shaking my head.
Oh my, we switched back to roles. Okay, well, what's your opinion?
I was kind of hoping it would get into the chorus a little bit here. I think that this song is a classic for a reason. It does have kind of simple lyrics, but the lyrics that are in the song represents the strength that a true friendship can have. And I'm hoping that John has downloaded the other two songs that Bill Withers is known for. But first, I'm thinking John's going to give his commentary on Lean On Me. You going to give your commentary?
I might eventually. I said, here is an iconic song. I said, and yes, everybody can identify with it. There's a good, pure voice, not being overwhelmed by too much bullshit and weirdness. It's even got a break with the tempo change that we just heard. It's just a good, sound, solid song. I gave it a plus.
It's not my favorite Bill Withers song.
What is the other Bill Withers songs that you want to hear? I think that the first one you want to hear...
The song that came the year before this one, which is a very soulful song, is another song I'm sure all of you are familiar with, and it's called Ain't No Sunshine.
Oh, shit. That's the wrong one that I went to.
Well, guess what? It's coming, folks.
Play the right way. Don't laugh at me, dear.
I'm not.
So you like this song, too?
Yes, I love this song. I think it's got a lot of soul to it. It obviously, it's kind of like, I would compare this song to like Rolling in the Deep with Adele, because there's like real feel to it.
Well, you don't like this interpretation of it?
Yes, I told you to download that song. This song was actually in one of our previous countdowns. Get ready. Here's the peppy version.
It's a piece of shit. Piece of giant crap. It's terrible. Never listen to Club Nouveau.
Yeah, and you can see how quality they were, because I don't know any of their other songs.
I know, right?
Are we going to sing the 1981 song?
Are we
going to be listening to that?
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
There's a song that he put out in 1981 that I told you, that I referred to earlier in this podcast that I told you to download. It's called Just the Two of Us.
Is it?
We can make it if we try. Or not.
Just the two of us?
Yeah. Well, not the ten of us. That'd be too damn many.
Just me and you. Just me and you.
Oh my gosh.
Surprise. I figured I'd throw that one in just for kind of a wrench in the system.
Thanks a lot, brother.
Oh, you got a good laugh out of it. I don't want to hear it.
And the one, I wanted to make a point about Ain't No Sunshine came out in 1971. And Just the Two of Us came out in 1981. And if you compare the two songs.
This came out in 80. 80 something?
1981.
Holy shit!
I researched. You can tell the difference.
This is like a.
You can tell that this song isn't.
But it doesn't feel 80s.
If you compare it to Ain't No Sunshine, it does. Although Ain't No Sunshine kind of seems like a late 60s song to me, rather than 1971. This,
I don't know. I didn't
this,
realize this was
no, John, listen to this. This sounds like Michael McDonald.
Maybe a little bit.
That's
but,
why
oh
it seems a little bit 80s to me.
Okay. I just don't. I don't see it.
Guess what? It came out in 1981.
Okay. I agree. Okay. Whatevs.
Whatevs.
All right. So what's your opinion?
Plus,
what, minus?
What on Lean On Me? Yeah. First off, my opinion is never a plus. It's a happy face, meh face, or sad face.
Whatever.
It's
literally the same grading system.
It's a happy face.
Just in a different projection.
Go ahead and give your opinion, and then I guess are you going to do your album?
Oh, I already gave my opinion on this one.
Okay, would you like to do your album?
Not really.
Or am I doing my Artist of the Week so you can give me those happy eyes?
What was the challenge?
I don't remember. What was it?
Linkin Park. With
The Hunting Party. Okay, so that's the challenge accepted album that I chose for John.
So look, I have a history with Linkin Park. You and I saw Linkin Park at our second Ozfest together, because it was the last Ozfest I went to.
Mm-hmm.
And they performed with Papa Roach, who were really terrible when we saw them.
Yeah, I remember the terribleness.
When we saw Linkin Park, they had just dropped their first album, which was called Hybrid Theory, which was the original name of the band.
I know.
And Hybrid Theory, for what it was pretty good, because it was kind of not, you couldn't classify it necessarily as rap metal because Chester sings in a way.
Well, don't you think that they caught on with Hybrid Theory? They caught on, their popularity caught on?
They got everybody with Hybrid Theory.
Because they kind of were different. Their sound was different. They were one of the first bands to actually kind of mesh two genres
together. You don't see two front men.
You don't.
In a group. And
especially they're pretty different frontmen too. They have a pretty different sound.
They had a rap guy and a metal guy.
And the rap guy's greatness. Which is why, well, that's just my opinion. That's why I think they caught on.
Well, the woman that I married's favorite group was Linkin Park.
Yeah, I already know that.
So I believe that I've heard everything Linkin Park has to offer.
Okay.
I don't like Linkin Park.
I know.
As a whole. I do like Hybrid Theory as an album. I do not like Linkin Park.
Okay, that's why I gave you this album.
So, what I expected out of this album was nothing groundbreaking, because they have not offered anything groundbreaking since their first album.
Since Hybrid Theory.
And what I got out of this album was exactly what I expected. There's nothing groundbreaking.
So, how many points out of 10?
I believe that what they're trying to do is kind of pull back on the rappiness of it a bit
and make it more ballady,
and kind of no, there's no ballads on it.
Okay.
Not a single ballad on it. There's some stuff that's kind of in tempo, but there's not anything that's like ballady. I don't think they've ever had anything that's a true ballad. They have stuff that is kind of rock and stuff that's kind of not quite rock.
Okay.
And they think they're pushing the envelope, but they never do.
Why don't you so how many points out of 10?
So, here's the songs that I wanted to...
These are your picks.
I wanted to highlight these songs because I felt that these were the least worst songs on the album. This is called Until It's Gone, and it was the first album, it was the first track that really spoke to me. They're trying to kind of like combine rock and EDM. Is what they're trying to do.
Is this a single for them?
I don't know if it is or it isn't. I didn't pay attention. This is the first one that I was like, okay, that's not terrible. It's track number 7. I listened to 6 other tracks before this one. Before anything stuck out to me. That's not good. So that song kind of spoke to me a little bit. It's not great. It's not terrible. It's kind of like, up to that point, I was like, this is the first song that really speaks to me.
Okay.
It was pretty good. Not great.
What's the next one?
The next one is... I'm going to sound like the biggest asshole. There's 12 songs on this album. Song number 11 was the next one that standed out to me. It's called Final Masquerade. I didn't skip too far into
it. There's not really any rap to it.
There's rap in it. There is. Later. You can hear Shinoda in it. There's a song that he actually sings in, which is actually number 12, which is my next pick.
Okay.
It really... Like, I would like to give these guys a little bit of credit, because they really helped to popularize that quote-unquote new metal scene.
They did.
And it just does nothing for me. This album was so flat for me. I didn't expect too much out of it. Like, I think for the Mariah Carey album that I listened to, I expected a little bit too much out of it. This one I kind of expected more of the same, and that's exactly what I got. So I wasn't disappointed or happy with it.
So what's the title of number 12?
Number 12 is called A Line in the Sand. This is the only song I feel is like slightly different. Because for the most part, Shinoda carries it. And he doesn't carry it in a rapping fashion. He kind of sings the lyrics. And it's not like a...
It sounds more like Hybrid Theory.
You know how there's a kind of verse, chorus, verse, chorus? This doesn't really have a chorus. This is not Chester. This is Shinoda.
I know.
This song is probably my favorite song on the album. And I had to wait past 11 tracks to get to this.
But at least she got there.
Yeah, more or less. And it's the only song where kind of Chester doesn't sound... You know how Chester has a tendency to scream?
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't do like an impressive scream. Like, you know, there's a lot of death metal bands that's like, if I could scream like that, I could be in a death metal band. He doesn't scream like that. He screams like a bitch. Chester does.
Are you finished with your commentary?
I gave it a 6 out of 10.
I thought you were going to give it a 4, so that's...
I gave it a 6. I didn't want to give it a 4 because a 4 for me is, like, really bad. I gave it a passing grade in Milford. I gave it a 60. it wasn't...
Probably not now.
It wasn't so bad...
In the 1990s, maybe.
It wasn't so bad that, like, I couldn't listen to it. It was just not good. Like, it was okay.
Would you like to...
It was mediocre.
Would you like to hear my take on Linkin Park?
Please do.
Okay, now, in the in-between time, John understands what that means.
The long, long ago.
The long, long ago.
Pursuant to the never-ending story. And the whatever that big dog thing is, the dog dragon thing.
It's a luck dragon.
The dog dragon.
It's a luck dragon.
The doggin. The dragon.
In the in-between time.
The long, long ago.
It kind of happened during the time, but I liked it between. Hybrid Theory, I thought, was just a great album.
It was.
It really snared me into Linkin Park.
It was.
And I even got Meteora after that.
Did you get the Jay-Z album?
No.
Guess who has it? This guy!
But anyway, so... I went with my ex-husband and I got free tickets to see Linkin Park, Puddle of Mud.
Oh my God. Talk about a shitty band.
Which was one of his favorite bands.
Holy
at the time.
Fucking shit. What a terrible band.
Korn and Three Doors Down.
And Korn was the best the best band.
And I went to see them. And Linkin Park was there. They were like Puddle of Mud, and then was Linkin Park.
Yeah.
And I still kind of like Linkin Park. And I went, and I will tell you,
Korn was the best band on the bill.
I will equate it to seeing Boyz II Men at the Delaware State Fair for 45 minutes, peacing out. Honestly, no joke. They are one of the worst live bands I've ever seen in
good,
my life.
Good, because they were terrible when we saw them that year at Ozfest, too.
And I saw that concert, and what got me
Chester can't sing live.
Was Korn. Chester can't.
He can't. He can't
Korn
sing live at all.
Korn was amazing. It makes I don't me like their new stuff they, now, but they were amazing that concert.
Why do the guys in Stone Temple Pilots put up with having such a terrible live singer as their new vocalist? I don't understand it.
Stone Temple Pilots aren't really Stone Temple Pilots. They were loosely still themselves
on the album.
No, it's
Stone Temple Pilots
before.
With Chester Bennington. It's no longer because Scott Weiland's not there. But yeah. Scott Weiland was terrible too. He was only good the first album, first and second album. The rest of it is bullshit.
In air quotes. In my opinion, Stone Temple Pilots haven't been themselves or haven't represented themselves since 4. And 4, there's
4 has one good song.
There's really only
and
one.
And it's called Down.
Only two songs that I like off
one
the album.
Good song.
Two songs that I like off the album of 4. Tiny Music, I feel like it's when they really, really tried to branch out to the to reach a bigger fan base.
That was just a
Korn
terrible album.
And Purple are greatness. They're great albums, especially Purple. There's only one song.
Korn is good too, though.
One song off of Purple that I don't like, and that's the mainstream song.
Yep. Highway Love Song.
Interstate
Level. Whatever.
Highway to Hell.
It's a bullshit song, regardless.
But anyway, so there's John's ranking. We're going to be on Linkin Park and their new album. I'm preparing for some not love. I chose the artist of the week.
And why don't you disconnect?
Usually how I I'll do. Usually how I do the artist of the week. Is I think and I do a little research about the top 100 songs, sometimes the top 200 songs for the year, and I looked for the year 1972, and I found an iconic song by an iconic artist, and I said, this is going to throw John for a loop, surprisingly, because he doesn't realize how much I actually like this artist, because we've never, ever, ever talked about it. And I said, you know what? I'm going to pick this artist, despite what he thinks. He thinks he's figured it out. This artist is an American singer, songwriter, and musician whose career has actually spanned over 5 decades. What? I can't read your handwriting.
I'm trying to tell you to play the song, skip it into about a minute in, because that's usually where a hook kicks in. I'm trying to be helpful and not be an asshole for a change.
Wow, right?
For a change.
Let's change it up.
We can make it if we try. Big Willie Styles playing in Men in Black 4.
This particular artist broke into the mainstream with some cool rock hits that were made. He's really going to get mad at me. That I believe, and really everybody, I think he really got a lot of appeal by his unconventional stage shows.
Just play the damn song already.
Rolling Stone Album Guide has called him the world's most beloved heavy metal entertainer.
Are you playing it yet?
And he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Are you playing it yet?
I'm not ready yet.
Just play it and I'll turn it up while you talk.
I'm not playing it yet. I got to get it ready.
For the love of God, just play the damn song. Oh, wow. I knew as soon. See, I can hear it bleed.
Well, that's what you get for having me try to figure it out.
All you gotta do is try, just plug it. I have the volume turned all the way down on the mixer. All you gotta do is play it and then skip to about a minute in.
Okay, I'm playing it right now.
Okay, please continue.
Is it playing? He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2011.
So please, please entertain my question. Why did you think I would disagree or be pissed off in any way, shape, or form?
I thought you were pissed off because I didn't think that you would. I thought that you would be pissed off because this could have been artist for you to pick.
No, because I could have picked Black Sabbath for the next countdown.
So I chose Alice Cooper.
The band or the artist?
I guess both.
Because Alice Cooper, the
artist.
Oh
my God, here we go. So the song is School's Out.
His real name is not Alice, by the way.
His real name is Vincent
Fernier.
Damon Fernier. I wrote that down because I take good notes.
I'm pretty good at that. I'm pretty good at knowing.
So the artist of the week for 1972 is Alice Cooper.
I cannot deny that.
So is that a surprise?
It is a surprise because I didn't think you would go there.
I did.
But Alice Cooper has a lot of really good classic songs. The guy is a hell of an artist. And I cannot even speak to my level of respect for Alice Cooper.
He's a very intelligent man.
He's a very avid golfer.
At 66 years of age, he's about the same age as my dad.
He's a very avid golfer.
He is.
And he had Ozzy do some backing vocals on Hey Stupid, which is my favorite Alice Cooper album.
Mm-hmm.
He also has teamed up in the past with Bon Jovi for the album before Hey Stupid, which is called... shit. I shouldn't even have started on that because
well,
I can't remember
what
the fuck
it was called.
Well,
that's what you get for not knowing stuff.
But yes, he did some songs with Bon Jovi.
How far are we into this?
Pretty far.
So maybe we should wrap this bad boy up.
That's not terrible.
So people don't want to take a nap.
An hour and a half. That's about 10 minutes longer.
All right, well, let's start
usual.
Wrapping this up because I'm getting hungry. You know what happens then.
OMG. All right. Well, what's our thing next week? What is our year next week? It's 1970. This is 72, right?
We have another. I believe it's 1971.
It's 71.
Aren't you going to check on the random generator?
I don't feel like dicking around with that right now.
Oh my gosh. It's a good thing this is a free podcast. Free.
Our random number generator gave us 1971.
But after that, I believe it's going to not be in the 70s.
And your challenge accepted is Sia's, I think it's called like A Thousand Faces of
yes.
Fear.
Yes. It's got a blonde wig on the cover. I've already listened to some of it.
Which she wears. That's her hairstyle.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's it. Listen to us on Stitcher Radio. Or listen to us on iTunes. All you have to do is run a search for First State.
Can you tell me what a sturch is?
It's something that you put in clothes to make them stiff.
Cool.
Sturch.
Cool.
Listen to us on Stitcher Radio or on iTunes. Just make a search for First State Snobbery. You can send us some tweets at DE Snobbery on Twitter.
You can email us. We would love an email.
You can email us.
And as John has said so many times, he would read it on the air. For sure.
Absolutely.
He would read it on the air.
Even if it's just garbage nonsense.
Are you trying to say, are you trying to say what our listeners would send in would be garbage?
Even if it just
I'm highly offended by that.
Ooga booga birth a butt. I would read it on.
Amen. Me caveman.
Troglodyte.
Me caveman.
I would read it on the air, and that's First State Snobbery, all one word, at gmail.com.
Okay, and guess what?
Stitcher Radio.
I get to pick the ending song that we're fading out with, and it is definitely not Corrosion of Conformity.
iTunes.
It could not be any different.
Leave us feedback, please.
It could not be any different.
Continue to download us, please. We're not too terrible.
We love our listeners.
All right, so what are you playing?
This is my jam here lately. This is my jam. I just heard it like Friday.
Ladies
and I've been
gentlemen,
obsessed with it for 2 or 3 days.
Pitbull!
It doesn't have Pitbull on it. Okay?
Jennifer Lopez!
It doesn't have Jennifer Lopez.
Lil Jon!
It doesn't have Lil
Jon.
Yeah!
Just play it.
This song is actually by Pharrell Williams. It's featuring Miley Cyrus.
Because I'm happy!
It's called Come Get It Be. I really like it. So that's what we're leaving you with.
Thank you guys for listening.
Thank you. Enjoy your week. Listen to us next week.
Like me.
I know you see.